Accession number 27785, Mr. John Gant, Real 8. Now, you were talking about the food, the limited diet you had on the ship. Tell us a bit about the food you got. It was all dehydrated, was it?
All dehydrated, yeah, yeah.
What sort of thing?
Dehydrated meat and dehydrated potatoes. And as far as I can recall, that was every meal. Breakfast, dinner, supper, whatever. It was just insipid. It was no taste to anything. In fact, the first time that I had a boil was then. And I had it on the side of my leg, and it was a beauty, you know.
Now, these are, well, septic sores, was it? A boil?
A boil, yeah, yeah. Just no goodness, you know, in our... Not got no goodness in our bodies at all.
And how bad was it? Because it'd be quite deep and carbuncle-like, or...
No, not a carbuncle. I didn't know to get that, all that big. I said to my mate, do us a favour, will you? He said, what's that? I said, squeeze that ball for me. So I went up on deck, and he got some cotton wool from the first aid box, and give it a squeeze, and it went over the side, and I'm sure a fish had grabbed it, but that's another story. That was all right.
Do you get any more?
No, no.
And were other people having trouble with sores?
No, not that I can recall. We used to get prickly heat.
And what was that like?
Oh, that was, yeah, I've jumped the gun a little bit, because when we was at Cochin, that's when we get all the heat and the sweating. That was most humid, one of the most humid places on Earth. And you sweated as much at midnight as you did midday. So that was the cause of prickly heat.
And what is prickly heat then?
It's a itch. It drives you mad. You scratch, scratch, scratch. And you used to get down to the sick bay, and surgical spirit used to dab that. Not that it relieved it a little bit, but until you got so bad that one of our lads was sent home. It went septic, and so he was sent home. Because he was too bad to be of any service to anybody. So that's one way where he got home. But as soon as we went to sea, that's when we first picked up Matiana. When we first went to sea overnight, the prickly heat went, because it was less humid at sea than it was ashore. That was one of the little memories of that.
Now, what else do you remember about your time on the ship?
Cockroaches.
You had cockroaches?
Oh,
tell us about that.
Sorry?
Tell us about that.
There was... We were down in the hold, and our little mess was down there, and there was some cupboards along the bulkhead, and you put anything in there, the cockroaches scurrying about, so we made sure that it didn't get any of our belongings, cockroaches in them. Then we managed to buy some eggs, duck eggs, ashore, and bring that back, you know, because they were good, we like an egg, until we so rotten. So there was this one particular sub-lieutenant, he used to be, you know, the big Miami. I mean, I'll never be sick, you know, I'll never be seasick. And he had a cabin, and the window was under the deck, and it was open. So he was getting his head down for the afternoon, I think, when things had quietened down. So a couple of well-aimed duck eggs just above, hit the bulkhead above his bunk, and even I felt ill. There was all green and, you know, anyway, he heard it, and he looked up and he was as sick as a dog. So he was the bloke that would never be seasick. But one thing about that ship, the captain, he'd been on 18 years, he'd been on that ship. And every time he went to sea, he was seasick. You never, when we went to sea, you wouldn't see him for 24 hours. Then, after that, he's fine.
And you weren't seasick?
No, I was on my way home before I was ever seasick. But that's another story.
Now, what else happened while you were out there? Because you were out there a long time. I mean, you got Rangoon. What happened next?
We went back to, took the Marines back to Madras to get ready supply ships, all the stores, all the ammunition for the Marines was all to do with going down and retagging Singapore. Now there was always said when Singapore first fell you'd never be able to get a foothold. Japanese would never get a bare chance to get a foothold onto Singapore, so we hold it. But what they did, the Japanese come in from behind, not from the sea, from landward, and conquered Singapore like that. So the fact that we was going to attack it from the sea didn't augur very well. So anyway, that was, but we got we were about 3 weeks in Madras. As I say, ammunition, ship supplies, and then we're going to go round to Colombo and forming, as far as I can remember, it was going to form a
an invasion fleet.
Yeah, but the convoy. A convoy to go down and invade Singapore. And then we got a message through from that the from home that the Japanese are going to surrender.
Now, how do you react to that news?
Well, we knew we'd heard about those atom bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and I thought this, you know, that doing it to women and children, that's not right. If it's done in our name, then I don't want to know. But obviously that happened, and I voiced my opinion about that. But you don't Japanese troops, yeah, but women and children, you don't kill them for the matter of the sake of a war. So when we got back into Colombo, for 3 days everything in Colombo was free to servicemen. We got that on the fourth day, I think. I told Steve from the Bournemouth Times, I told him that. But I still say it was wrong. Still, that's all in the past now, isn't it? Unfortunately.
So what happened next then?
I went into Colombo, the Royal Naval Hospital. I had a fever.
What type of a fever?
I don't know. I don't think they knew.
How bad were you?
Delirious. Sweating. Buckets of sweat, you know. And they got me over it. And the ship had gone, and I'd left all my mates aboard there. So when they came out of hospital, they took me up just beyond Colombo, the back of Colombo, to a camp in all amongst the trees, and I was there for, couple of months perhaps. Used to be able to go ashore in Colombo, and they had just out of Colombo, you used to go back towards the edge, and there used to be a lane that had laid resembling a home, you know, sort of dummy hedges and a lane. And this built by who, I don't know, but it looked old, like an old-fashioned English country pub, and it was called the Pig and Whistle. And we would go in there and have a drink there, and the beer. Oh, it was, they made out of half-pint bottles of a light ale bottle. They were cut off. They did tell me about filling them with oil and boiling it up and hitting it, and it break just across, and then they just took the sharp end edge. That was your glass, you know. Anyway, it was
What were you doing during... That was another transit camp or camp of something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
What were you actually doing? Nothing much.
Killing time, yeah. That was another... what's his name? Guard. Sentry duty. And one that... It was so dark and quiet at night that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. One chap that was on guard with a 303 rifle, and he something frightened him and he panicked and he started firing. And there's straw hats as per usual in the, what's that? And a couple of the bullets went through the side of that, over, whistled across the chap just lying in his bunk. And he thought, you know, his time was up. Anyways, they managed to get hold of this chap and calm him down and told him, you know, what a silly thing he'd done to panic and fire just willy-nilly, you know.
So what happened next? There a couple of months.
Yeah.
Well, then I had to
go down to the regulating office. I was even Gant. Yeah. You've got a draft. You're going to India. So he got, I had to get more of my kit ready, and they just took me in a wagon. I was imagining it must have been Colombo railway station, and they gave me a toilet roll, a bar of soap, and that was about it, I think. I'd got my own toothpaste, so that was all right. Then I was on this train, and they were over through Ceylon overnight, and used to be this jet dock place that was ferries run from there across to India. So on this ferry, and it was I can't know how long that journey it was across from, but we were going to a place called Deniscode. So that stuck in my mind. I don't know, but it does. I thought it sounded more like Russian, you know, Deniscode, S-K-I or E or anyway. We got there, and they were going to Mandapam.
Where?
A place called Mandapam on the southern India, how far up from where it was from. The first place I went to in India, boom, boom, boom.
It's all right. Now, what happened when you got to Mandapam?
Well, into a camp. And that's where in Mandapam there used to be next to the our camp was another camp similar to ours, straw huts and but it was for Indians that wanted to go over to Ceylon and pick tea. So they used to bring them by train down into this camp, and then they used to, they had a big barrel on wheels, the metal. It was massive, good 5 foot across, and they used to wheel it this and cook rice in it, and then when he was pushing it along, you'd see the rice swooshed backwards and forwards, and that's how they feed these people for Ceylon.
Now, what were you doing at Mandapan? What was your duties?
Nothing really. We were just killing time because the war had finished, so we want to go home. So,
so anything happened there?
Got punishment.
What for?
Something very, very slight. That there's a sadistic petty officer there that marched us round, or made us run round with a little parade ground there with a rifle on your shoulder, and then run and run and run until the shirt and shorts were as wet as if we'd been in the sea. And he tried to get us to, there was three of us, I think, and he tried to make us give up, and we said no. In the end, he thought the best thing to do is to stop it, because if anybody did have any reactions to it, like have a heart attack or anything like that, he would be in trouble, so he stopped it. But I'll never forget that, running round this little parade ground.
How did you get on with the Indians? Did you see much of them?
They were... I saw more of India and that train journey from Bombay to Cochin. Squalor and children were pot-bellied. They'd eat anything they could get hold of. And we used to buy a hank of bananas for a seller, you know. And we'd eat tomatoes, bananas, because, it helped fill us up. But you used to throw the skins down, and there'd be a fight for the skins amongst the grown up as men and children to get this banana skin. It was terrible to think that they've reduced to that. The facts we were given about India was they earned about £5 a year as a man to keep his family and food, rice, and it was a terrible place as far as suffering for the locals.
Now, anything else about your time at Mandapan? Sounds like not much happened there.
Not a lot, really, no.
That's into 1940. Is that into 46? Is that your last posting in India?
Yeah, I would. There was one little story that when we came up from Mandapan to Bombay,
on your way back?
On our way back home. Yeah, we're up to Bombay. Then we stopped there and they put us in a transit camp there and took our names, and you'll be go home as soon as we can able to send you, you know. So we went through Christmas 45. We got there weeks and weeks before then, but we'd been waiting all this time and they kept going over to the regulating office. Has no name coming up yet? No, be patient. Your turn will come. And in the end, we had Christmas there, New Year's Eve there, and still nothing. So we went up and saw the drafting officer and said, you know, this is going, we want to get home. So he said, well, what's your names? Told our names. Oh, you're not even on the list, he said. So said, well, can we go on the list now? He said, I'll get you as soon as I possibly can. And the next thing I knew was that we'd got on the HMS Belolo, which was Mountbatten's headquarters ship.
HMS
Belolo. B-O-L-L-O, I think. And that was Mountbatten's headquarters ship while he was out in the Far East. So we left them behind, and we left for Bombay at the beginning of January. That's 46. And we called everywhere on the way home. Aden, Suez, Portside. We had to stay there because the officers needed their wardroom replenished with the with their drinks. So we'd been called up. We'd having our tea down on the mess deck, having our tea, and we were called up straight away. Leave your tea. You were up on deck, and to carry these supplies aboard for the officers. So I voiced my opinion, and I was in trouble. I got three or four days punishment, which was getting up early and doing jobs. The powers that be weren't all that hard on me, because I think they realised that, you know, we'd had a raw deal. We'd had to leave our food to go and look after officers. Anyway, we left there, eventually, portside, across to Aden. And to Aden, an officer wanted to go ashore to see his wife, and then from there to Malta, which we were there for about a week, because the captain's wife was in Malta. So we had to see her. We had a run ashore, so we enjoyed ourselves in Malta. Then round from Malta to... these names kept going out of my head.
Gibraltar.
Gibraltar, but it never went ashore. So we used to hang over the side. Boats used to come out with bananas and pineapples, and so I thought, well, I'll buy some. They were nice and green bananas, so they'd be handy. By the time we got home, they'd be ripe. So I bought a hank of them, and we set sail, and they got into Portsmouth.
That'd be about February you got back.
Yeah.